I told the Wednesday night class we were going to talk about consequences this morning. I told them we'd probably talk about a few other things, but we're going to talk about consequences this morning. And I had a text in mind to begin the lesson with, to have as our scripture reading. But as I was doing my Bible reading in the book of 2 Kings, I ran up on Gehazi and I thought, you know, there's a pretty good example of consequences. Because Gehazi was hit right off with the consequences of his actions. I think it's important that we consider consequences because all of our actions have consequences. Somebody says, well, now wait a minute, I don't know about that. Well, you've ever heard the phrase that every action has an equal and opposite reaction? We learned that way back in elementary school science. If we hadn't already learned it by, I don't know, throwing a ball up against the wall and it come back and hitting us in the head or in dodgeball or something like that. Actions have consequences. And I think one of the things we need to acknowledge is that's part of God's law. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, God said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And of course, this makes us think back to when God created the world. And when He created plants, He created them with the seed in them. And that seed would bear forth that plant. If you plant that seed, it's going to grow. We see that as God's law of harvest. In fact, Paul references it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. In fact, this was my original scripture reading. But Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from flesh reap corruption. And the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Now, Paul's statements are rather this idea that if we just keep sowing, we will reap a harvest. It will come. That's God's law of harvest. That's the same basic idea as every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. What goes up must come down. If you have problems understanding this, go over here in the parking lot and stomp on the gas real quick. And it'll throw you back in the seat. And you stomp on the brake and you'll go forward. Don't do it with your wife in the car. She doesn't like you doing that. We understand those things. But I think we forget about consequences sometimes regarding our actions in our daily life. We think, well, this won't really cause any real problem. Or, I'm the only one that this will ever affect. I think we need to be reminded that there are consequences for our actions. And if you need that hard wake up, I'll take you over in the parking lot and I'll stop and start real fast. But not much, because I'll get dizzy doing that very long. My wife says, no, not with me in the car. We need to recognize there's consequences. There's consequences in our relationships. You see some names up there that are familiar to you. When I say Lot, what do you think? Well, he's the one that went and lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and as a result, lost his entire family. Lost them all. When I say Isaac and Rebekah, you remember they each had their own favorite of their sons, Jacob and Esau. And just the fact that we say Jacob and Esau instead of Esau and Jacob is a reminder of some of the things that went on as a result of them having their own separate favorites and showing favoritism. When I say David, we remember. He's the one that in many ways destroyed his family and lost the kingdom for himself, at least for a short while, because he followed after his physical desires rather than keeping himself right in the sight of God. His immoral actions, his wickedness with Bathsheba brought about immoral actions among his sons and his family, and ultimately the kingdom was divided. Much of it as a result of the wickedness that began with David looking out at some woman on the rooftops and saying, "I want her," and doing whatever was necessary to get her. David and Bathsheba are certainly a lesson in consequences. Eli is a lesson in consequences. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we have the story of Eli. We read about him and his sons. And chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 really gets to the point we want to look at. "For I have told him," God said, "that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Eli knew of the wickedness that his sons were engaging in and he did not stop it, and there were consequences for that. His house was no longer allowed to be in the priesthood. In fact, they were wiped out, ultimately. They could not serve. Why? Because Eli didn't take action against his sons, there were consequences for his entire family. And I want you to take note that many of these examples we've just looked at, these consequences didn't just affect the one who engaged in the wicked activity. They affected their family, their nation, the people's roundabout. Now there's one example I don't have up here that I want to make mention of while we're talking about individuals, and that is Daniel. And I want to make mention of Daniel because he's an exception to the rule we've seen thus far. But it doesn't mean there weren't consequences. Daniel suffered consequences for his actions, but his actions were righteous. His three friends as well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel knew what would happen if he prayed to God, and he prayed to God anyway. Just because we're doing right doesn't mean there aren't consequences that we will have to live with. But if we're going to serve God, we have to accept the consequences along with the blessings. And I think that's an important thing for us to note as we consider this. Now, much of what we're going to be talking about this morning is negative consequences, but I wanted to make mention of Daniel because of that. We do have consequences for doing right, oftentimes. There are consequences as a result of our emotions. Certainly we see that with David. It was his emotions that overwhelmed him, that took him over and caused much of his problem. But anger and hatred are emotions that will bring consequences with them. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, "I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' or 'Thou fool,' the King James says, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And everyone who, and whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." Anger and hatred carry consequences with them. In verse 25, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. In other words, try to solve this problem before it brings greater consequences than you already have. And certainly we could go through any number of emotions and recognize that there are consequences to giving in to those emotions. Immorality carries consequences. Again, we could turn back to David. His immorality, his adultery with Bathsheba brought about destructive consequences. And certainly each of us probably has an example of someone that we've known in the past, someone in our distant friends or family who are suffering from broken homes, grew up fatherless or motherless because of the consequences of adultery, sexual immorality. In fact, the first part of Proverbs chapter 5 is a warning against such things. Solomon starts with, "Give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it." And he goes on to explain there are consequences to following after her. Just like at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, we read, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck." In other words, pay attention to the teaching that you have so it will keep you out of trouble. It will make your life a blessing rather than a curse. You can avoid consequences. When there is guidance, when there's no guidance, people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. And I include those as a reminder. This is why we have lessons like this. We need to be reminded sometimes that there are consequences for our actions, because it seems sometimes we forget. And we get caught up in the everyday-to-day part of life, and we begin to engage in things that seem to satisfy us or to make us feel comfortable. And if we're not careful, we can get ourselves into situations where there are consequences that we don't want to have to endure. But if we don't think about it ahead of time, we're right up in the middle of the consequences before we realize they're coming. There are consequences to how we dress ourselves, how we present ourselves to the world. And certainly we often, when we start talking about immodesty, we automatically start talking about dress, and certainly it's something we ought to talk about. But we can be immodest in our actions and attitudes as well. And so we need to recognize those are problems that we need to watch out for. But here in Genesis chapter 38, we have the story of Judah and his daughter-in-law. You remember, Judah had sons, and one of them got married, and God didn't like what he did, so he killed him. And so his brother married his brother's wife, and he didn't like the situation, so God killed him. Judah promised, "Okay, my next son, he'll be your husband, and he'll raise up seed." And time went on, and he grew up, and nothing happened. And Tamar decided to take matters into her own hands. And certainly there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from that. But in verse 15, you should take note. Genesis chapter 38 and verse 15. "When Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot, for she had covered her face." Now that wouldn't fit the dress of a harlot today, but in those days it did. I want us to take note. All Judah did was look at her, and his mind said, "Harlot." When people look at how you dress, what do they say? Well, if you've got on a red hat with certain letters on it, they say this. If you're wearing a tie-dyed t-shirt that's got Grateful Dead across of it, they think this. Some of y'all know who that is, some of you don't. People can look at us. Well, people do look at us and make assumptions about us because of how we look. And we're not going to get all into that. I got a whole other lesson. We can deal with that at another time. But we need to recognize the consequences of our actions. Drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. And I'm not saying those are separate things. They're all under the same category. They have consequences. Often they have long-term health issues that we need to recognize when we engage in those things. Driving excessively in the speed limit. Driving dangerously, recklessly. There's consequences. And those consequences are not something that's only going to affect the instigator. They oftentimes affect others. And consequences last, even though we may turn from the wrong. If someone commits a crime and they're committed to prison because of that crime, and they hear the word of the Lord and they obey the gospel and they submit their lives to the Lord, and they begin from that point forward to serve God faithfully, to do His will, to read and study His word and serve Him to the best of their ability, that doesn't mean they get out of prison. They still have the consequences. If you engage in risky behavior when you are young and there are consequences as a result of that, they very well may follow you all your life, no matter how you live the rest of your days. Consequences last. Gehazi was a leper for the rest of his life, and so was his family. Leprosy followed his entire family line from that point forward, because he looked and said, I need to get some of what he's got. He didn't have to pay. I need to make him pay, and I'll benefit from it. His greed. In fact, some of you may have a heading up there that says Gehazi's greed. He and his family suffered the rest of their life because consequences have long-term effect on our lives. Of course, we need to recognize the consequences of sin. Not just the physical things that may happen to us because we engage in sin, but the ultimate consequences of disobeying the law of God. First, we receive rebuke for our sin. In Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. I had to say that carefully to get it right. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. In Titus chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in the faith. Paul said some of these people you're dealing with are known to be liars, known to be lazy. You need to reprove them for their sin. What did he tell Timothy? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. Paul told the Ephesian brethren, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. This has been the case since the very beginning of time. The first sin committed was Adam and Eve partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God had specifically told them, do not eat of it, or else you will die. Well, they did. And look what happened in Genesis chapter 3. To the woman, he said in verse 16, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then he said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread. Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. They were rebuked and punished for their sin. And here again, that punishment wasn't just to Adam and Eve. That punishment was handed down to all mankind. Women still give birth in pain, and we still have weeds in our garden. It's too easily recognizable. Of those rebukes and punishments. It brought about shame and reproach, and it separated them from God. Note verse 22 through 24. The Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, and now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way of the tree of life. He cast them out of the garden and said, you ain't coming back. They were cast out of the presence of God because of their sin. And even though they sought forgiveness and were granted forgiveness when they sought it, because I know if they sought it, God forgave them, they still suffered the consequences. And we still suffer those consequences today. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, Paul talks about this. He says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. God's wrath is poured out upon men because they engage in ungodliness and unrighteousness, even when they know God is there. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what was made, so they are without excuse. For even when they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God gave them over to wickedness because they turned away from Him. They ignored Him. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. whether women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural, and in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. When we turn our backs on God, we will suffer the consequences. And just a little plug for our Bible class this afternoon. We're going to read about that in Jeremiah. I think we'll get that far. As Jeremiah tells the people of Judah, if you'd have just listened to God instead of listening to other people. They receive in their own persons the due penalty of their error. They suffer the consequences of going against God's natural laws, much less God's spiritual laws. There are consequences for our actions. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 12 and 13, the two men who came to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy that city told Lot, "Whom else have you here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Sodom and Gomorrah were so wicked that God destroyed them completely. The 10 northern tribes of Israel became so wicked that God destroyed them completely. Dispersed throughout the rest of the world, never to be a kingdom again. Judah turned away from God and lost their place. Went into captivity. Why? Because they did not serve God. They followed their own passions, their own ideas. God tells us there are consequences for wickedness. We need to recognize that. It brings about sickness and sorrow. Notice what Paul says in Romans 13, verse 3 and 4 about rulers. They're not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. Why? For it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Do right, no consequences. Do wrong, consequences. Now, we will add 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 here. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. This reminds us back of Daniel and his three friends in Babylon. Daniel knew that what he was doing was against the king's law, but it was God's command. And so he followed God's command, knowing there would be consequences. And God saw him through those consequences. He spent the night with the lions, and the men who accused him were cast in there the next morning, and the lions weren't hungry anymore. His three friends spent some time in the fiery furnace, and then they came out as if they had never been touched by it. We're righteous. God saw them through. And I think we need to recognize the same thing ourselves. A lot of times we hear people say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have to worry about the police or the government or whatever. And the response is, well, that's not necessarily true. Sometimes they're just trying to cause trouble. Well, if that happens, Peter says, don't worry about it. God will see you through it. If you suffer and patiently endure doing what is right, this finds favor with God. God is pleased. And while there may be consequences that we have to endure, God will see us through. And of course, as we made mention, it even brought death. Some consequences are final, as far as this world is concerned. Some consequences, in fact, all consequences relating to sin, bring death to us spiritually. We need to recognize that. We need to acknowledge that and understand. That's the exact instruction that God gave to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. They ate from it, and they were separated from God completely, and they began the process of dying physically. As we studied in Isaiah chapter 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. The consequence of sin, if there is no other consequence, the consequence of sin is separation from God. And if we do not correct that, that will be an eternal separation. Paul spoke to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, completely separated from God. But as in Adam all die, Paul told the Corinthian brethren, so also in Christ all will be made alive. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but you obeyed from the heart the doctrine of Christ. And now you are alive in God's sight. Sin has its consequences. Part of those consequences are rebuke, they are difficulty, sorrow, sickness, death. All of them affecting our relationship with God. Some of them affecting us in our physical life as we walk through this world. It brings out the wrath of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Paul in many places speaks of the fact that we will be held accountable. We will suffer the wrath of God. We've seen that in the prophets as we've studied in Isaiah and we're studying in Jeremiah, as we studied in some of the minor prophets as well. God's wrath poured out upon the people of Israel, we saw in their history, because they disobeyed Him. In fact, the entire group that came out of the land of Egypt, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, were destroyed in the wilderness because God's wrath at their wickedness. But we need to recognize that the consequences for sin are eternal consequences. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The consequences of sin are not something that's just going to happen here upon this earth. Yes, we may have consequences here upon the earth, but ultimately the consequences of sin are eternal. they will last forever. If the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, the Hebrew writer tells us, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation after it was at the first spoken through the Lord and it was confirmed to us by those who heard? The consequences of sin will find us in the end of time. Unless we set ourselves right in the sight of God. That's why Jesus warns in Matthew 7 to enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Paul words it this way when he writes to the Thessalonian brethren, giving them a little courage and relief in the first chapter, verse 7, to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. These people in Thessalonica were like some of those we read about in the book of Revelation. Lord, when are You going to? How long until You punish those who have been destroying us, who have been oppressing us? And Paul says, in the end of time it'll come. If we don't suffer for our sins here upon this earth, we will certainly suffer for our sins in eternity. We may think we got away with it. Reminds me back when I was a young fella, there were a few things I thought I got away with. When I found out later, Mom knew more about it than what I thought she did. Depending on the severity of the things she found out, she may have let it slide or she may have punished me, but God knows everything. And there's a day coming when we're going to be held to account. Sin has consequences, and the day of judgment is a day of reckoning. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Think about that for a minute. There is no one who has ever walked on the face of the earth that will not stand before Christ in judgment. And that judgment is going to be in regards to how we lived here on this earth. Recompense for the deeds in the body according to what He has done, whether good or bad. God knows. And there's a day of reckoning coming. It is the judgment day. And we will all appear before Christ for judgment and be held accountable for how we lived our life here on earth. And let me tell you a little secret here. Suffering consequences on earth won't help you avoid the consequences of eternity. Just because we had to live with the consequences of doing something wrong while we walked here upon the face of the earth, if we don't correct that with God, we're still going to be separated from Him for eternity. Sin has eternal consequences. Again, Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation is their recompense. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life," Jesus says in Matthew 25. I submit that each and every one of us should live our lives in such a way, acknowledging the consequences of our actions and recognizing that there's a day coming we're going to be held in judgment, that when we look at our life as we come to the close of it, we will be able, like Paul, to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing. Paul could look back at his life and say, yes, there have been consequences for my actions. Yes, sometimes I did wrong. In fact, he looked at his life and said, I was the chiefest of sinners. Yet God had mercy upon me. And I saw the risen Christ, and I was able to change my life, and I lived it in such a way from that point forward, having repented and turned from my sins, God forgave me, and I lived such that now I can honestly say God has a reward waiting for me because I did His will. I hope the same can be said for us. Maybe reminding us that there are consequences for all of our actions will help us to stay on the straight and narrow. If you step off a high spot, you're going to fall. Guaranteed. If you stand out in the middle of the highway with speeding cars coming, you're going to get hit. We need to think carefully about how we conduct ourselves that we might avoid the consequences of evil in our life. But stand firm for the Savior even as we endure the consequences of doing right in a wicked world. If you want to be with God in eternity, you need to be His child. You need to commit yourself to Him by being obedient to His Word. Confess your belief in Jesus as the Savior, the Son of God, and you can be freed from sin. If you will turn from your sins and submit wholly to the will of God and be buried in baptism to receive the remission of your sins, you can be added to the family of God. Rise up out of that watery grave a new creature, one who belongs to God. You live righteously according to that law, and you can be with God in eternity. You will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. If you turn from that straight and narrow path, you will suffer the consequences. And if you do not correct it, they will be eternal. If you recognize you've strayed from that path, we urge you to get back where you need to be, to get back in a right relationship with God, to come back to the light and walk with Him. John tells us that if we will confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We may still have to suffer the consequences, but they won't be eternal anymore. If we come back to God seeking forgiveness, He will provide. And if we can assist in that, time and opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for your encouragement.